The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What will we experience when we are in the third heaven, awaiting the new heaven and new earth? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a wonderful topic to talk about today. It came in from a listener not so unlike yourself. By the way, if you've got questions for Bob and Sean to answer, you can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Now, by the way, if you'd like to go deeper and see Bob and Sean in person, maybe even ask a few questions, you can attend our National Bible Conference. You can learn about our National Bible Conference by going to faithalone.org. We're doing something very unique this year. I want to leave it up to you to go and look at the site and see where and when we are doing it, but it's going to be a great time. It's always a great time of learning and fellowship. We hope to see you there. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
This is Grace in Focus. If you're listening to us for the first time, we really appreciate it. If you're a longtime listener, could you do us a favor and go to whatever platform that you listen on and give us a review?
People stand on a platform when they're listening?
Yeah.
What kind of a platform is that?
It's like I had to explain what the internet was to Zane the other day. Yeah. He's writing this immigration.
He's what, seven?
He's seven. He's doing this immigration project. And so who's the closest immigrant that he knows? Me.
You.
Right? So
yeah.
He's doing my story. And I said, well, you know, I have to explain, why did I come to America? Well, I met your mother on the internet. He's like, what is the internet? It's really hard to explain to a seven-year-old.
Well, especially when I don't know what it is. I mean, I know it's a magic box, but
right?
How these billions of computers are interconnected,
like,
I don't know.
Why are we talking about that? Oh, yes. So platforms.
Know.
Yes.
Platform.
If you listen to us on a podcast platform, give us a review. Give us however many stars you think we deserve. The more, the better.
Yeah.
But then write something. If you could write something. Your one sentence positive. Do you ever read Amazon reviews for books and things?
Oh, all the time.
I make so many of my decisions based on how many stars there are and how many reviews there are. If there's like 5 stars and like 3 reviews, that doesn't mean anything to
right.
me. But if there's like 1,000 reviews and it's 4.5 stars,
right.
that means way more to me than the 5-star with just the 3 reviews.
Right.
So the more people we can get to give reviews, the better we're going to do in the rankings. And the more of a difference it can make to a new viewer who's looking for good Christian podcasts to
right.
listen to. So you can do us a huge favor by reviewing us. Let's see here. Let's take some questions. Okay, here's a question from Glenda. Is that from Wizard of Oz? Is that
I think the Good Witch? I think so.
I've read those books. He wrote so many of those Wizard of Oz books.
You mean The Wizard of Oz was a book?
It was a book.
I thought it was a movie.
It was a ton. He wrote a ton
with
of
Judy
books.
With Judy Garland.
And they're written so simply, very, very interesting.
What's
books.
His name? Frank something or other.
Now that you've asked,
Frank,
I can't even picture
Frank
it.
Frank Berber or Frank.
But Glenda asks, when we go to the third heaven, will our memories be intact while we're waiting for the new earth? And are we going to be able to see, or will our soul be sleeping until the new earth is ready?
Aha, soul sleep.
Yeah.
That's a false doctrine of one of the cults, which is it Jehovah's Witnesses, I think, believe
I think
in
Luther,
soul sleep?
Even Luther. I mean, lots
oh,
of
Luther
people.
Believed in soul sleep?
A lot of people speculated about it because there's so many things that say Christians sleep, but really that's probably more referring to the body.
Right.
Whereas the soul or spirit seems to be conscious, as far as any descriptions that we have, like in Luke, the story of Lazarus and
oh, yeah.
the rich man. Where is that? I forget.
That's Luke 16:19-31.
Yeah. They're definitely conscious down there.
Right. And on top of that, you've got Moses and Elijah appearing at the Mount of Transfiguration, and they're conscious.
They're conscious at that time.
Right. And the word.
Now, do they go to sleep after?
No.
Do they appear and they're like,
they woke
right.
them up. No. The word sleep. There's two different words in the New Testament for sleep. One of them refers to literal sleep. The other is figurative use, and it only refers, believe it or not, to the death of born-again people, believers. It never is used of unbelievers.
Okay.
And so, like Jesus said, that Lazarus was sleeping, and they said, oh, well, then he'll get well. And then he said, well, okay, let me make it clear. He's dead.
Yeah. Or that little girl, that guy's daughter. she's asleep, and they're all like, oh, man, what a moron. She's as dead as a doornail. But she was. Well,
he raised her from the dead.
He raised her from the dead.
Yeah. So all I would say is the idea of soul sleep is contradicted by so many passages. For example, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah. That doesn't say whether we're conscious or asleep.
Well, I think it does, because to be present with the Lord in a coma is not really present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord is you're present. You're there. It's like,
well, if you're in a coma,
when the teacher says Sean Lazar and you go present,
yeah,
that means you're actually attentive.
I guess. Well, maybe. I guess so. I could. Let me make the argument, because that's what I do. Let's say you're in a coma and Sharon visits you. Are you saying Sharon isn't really visiting you if you're in a coma? She's not at your bedside. She's
yeah,
not
but
present
I'm really
with
not present with Sharon.
But you're not
I
really
mean,
present
I'm,
with
okay.
her. Okay.
I mean, I'm kind of there, but okay. But on top of that, we have lots of other references. In the book of Revelation, especially
That's
chapters 4 and 5,
I was thinking of that
you've
one.
Got people who are in heaven, and they're certainly, now some of them are angelic beings, but some are humans, and they're able to converse, etc.
Well, let's say angels don't experience soul sleep. They're definitely conscious in
That's
heaven.
Right.
So why shouldn't we be?
Right.
I think the whole soul sleep doctrine was to maybe kind of explain the passage of, I think it was used to explain different problems. So like, for example, if you're an unbeliever and you die before the Great White Throne Judgment, you don't really need to wait until the Great White Throne Judgment to know whether or not you're going to go to hell forever, because you wake up in fire.
See, that would be a clue, wouldn't it?
But then people said, well, what's the point of the Great White Throne Judgment if you already woke up in fire? And so people started saying, well, it must be that your soul is asleep, and then you find out your eternal fate. Otherwise, it's kind of like a big letdown. It's like, oh,
well,
yeah, I already knew that. Thank you.
What if you're taught Roman Catholic theology? So you wake up in fire and you go, oh, I'm in purgatory.
Purgatory. Okay, yeah.
And I'll get out later.
Yes.
Let's see how long it's going to be. And you find some other Catholics and y'all go, yeah, we're in purgatory.
Right.
Unfortunately, you probably find out there's some non-Catholics in this place too.
Right, right.
Maybe
right.
there's some Buddhists and Hindus and right. Muslims and atheists and agnostics. And lots of people from various Christian traditions who never believed in the free gift of everlasting life. And it would seem to me that should be a big clue
right.
that, hey, I was wrong.
Now, you have a slightly mediating position here in this sense. So a lot of people, some people, I think I've read this, they use soul sleep because they think, man, are you really going to wait? Let's say people who died like in Noah's day, Abraham's
right.
day, thousands of years ago. So they,
right.
now they've been waiting for thousands of years in heaven for, you know, all these events to play out. Doesn't it get boring for them or something? I don't know. So maybe they speculate, well, it must be that we're asleep and you die and then you wake up and whoo-hoo, it's judgment day. But in your view, the passage of time when you go to be with the Lord in the third heaven is not like the passage of time that we experience.
Right. I would say to Glenda, as we await the millennium, and she was talking about the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah.
Well, there's the whole millennium is the next step in God's program after the tribulation.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not going to be waiting for the new earth in heaven. We're going to be on the millennial earth, and we will be serving the Lord during that 1,000 years. But before then, my view is that we will experience time like God experiences time, so that with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day. Mm. Let's say Moses, he was around 1400 BC, which would mean 3,500 years ago, approximately. For him, if the millennium started 7 years from now, it would seem to him like he only waited 3.5-4 days. And somebody who died like 10 years ago, they would think they missed the rapture by 10 minutes, a very right. short period of time. So, yeah, my view is that people are going to have a different experience of time. And I don't know how all that works out, but what we do know is they will be in joy. There will certainly be no suffering for people who are with the Lord.
So how can you have joy? I mean, do our memories get retrofitted? Do we kind of go through do you remember Men in Black where they had that kind of
right.
memory eraser thing?
I like that.
Does God do that to us? Because could we remember all of our sins, all of our pains, all of our sorrows, all of our friends and family who are obviously not with us. Like, we'll look around in the third heaven and realize, man, my family's not here.
You have a way of making these questions harder than they originally were. But that's a very good question, and nobody's ever asked me that. I don't know. I would suggest, obviously, once we have glorified bodies at the time of the rapture, well, then we're going to get over any grief we have from bad memories almost instantly, because we're going to have glorified bodies.
Yeah.
But I would guess, and this is a guess here, that even with the intermediate bodies, that any grief we have about bad memories will be very minimal, because we're going to be in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And there will be joy when we're in the presence of the Lord. And so even without the glorified body yet, it seems to me our memories will primarily be good memories, the pleasant memories, and any disturbing memories, if we can deal with it in this life, I would think we could certainly deal with those same memories if we're in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, and I wonder if our memories will get better.
That's another good question.
I'm thinking about one way I deal with the bad things that have happened to me is that I tend to forget about them. There are passages in the Bible, and we can debate whether they're literal or figurative, but God definitely presents himself as saying, I'm forgetting that.
Well, Paul says, you know? Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And not only does he forget the bad stuff,
yeah,
but he even forgets the good stuff, in the sense that his focus is on being found faithful when Christ returns. And you can't just rest on your laurels.
Right.
You can't just say, well, I did all these good things, so now I don't need to serve the Lord anymore. Nor can you be paralyzed by your past failures. You know, what you need to do is keep pressing on. And
right.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a good approach.
So there's an idea for a thesis or a dissertation or a paper: biblical theology of forgetting.
Yeah.
That's,
and also remembrance, key word in both the Old and New Testament. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance meeting. In fact, some churches call it the remembrance meeting. And Passover is a remembrance meeting as well.
Yeah.
Of course, God remembers all the good that we've done. And that's an important thing that encourages us to know that God delights in the good works of his children.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the program on Monday, we're going to talk about whether our beliefs are predetermined before we are born. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.